one of the things that I admire most about members of the millennial generation is their innate optimism. They're optimistic about their futures, their careers, their families. It reminds me of when I was young, before a life of whistleblowing beat it out of me. Still, there are some people who have such an ingrained need, a natural desire to do right, that they blow the whistle on myriad issues throughout the course of their lives, no matter what the personal cost. I'm John Kiriakou. Welcome to The Whistleblowers. An Israeli psychologist once told me that whistleblowers have a far better defined sense of right and wrong than does the general population. Some issues are just clearly black and white, right and wrong. Oftentimes, the general public doesn't understand that. Certainly, it's no surprise that sometimes governments don't understand that. But it describes our next guest. Whether it's international banking, commercial real estate, or even Bitcoin, there's been something to say. Our guest today is Pascal Najati. Pascal was born and educated in Switzerland. He worked first in public relations before moving into the management of mutual funds. From 1993 until 2003, he served as a management board member at Dresdner Bank in London and was in charge of capital markets covering Central Europe, Central Asia, the Russian Federation, Africa, and the Middle East. After the assassination in Malaysia of his father, prominent Bahraini banker Hussein Najati, Pascal, a veteran of the Swiss Air Force, began his whistleblowing, and it has covered the gamut. We're happy to have him with us today. Pascal, welcome to the show.
Hi, John. I greet you. Greetings to the United States, all you wonderful people and the audience, and of course, all the people around the world who are following you, and there's a tremendous amount of them, I learned.
Thank you very much for that. Pascal, I would like to begin with what might have been a trigger for your whistleblowing. You come from a very important Bahraini family, and your Swiss side is equally important. You're a direct descendant of a former Swiss president, as a matter of fact. You were headed toward quite a predictable career in international banking, and that's how things started out for you. When and why did that change? What exactly was the trigger?
You mean quitting the industry or raising hell about what just happened to all of us on COVID-19 psyops?
Right. And one led to the other, didn't it?
Look, I realized in 2004 in London, and I was shuttling between New York quite often, especially before that I was with Merrill Lynch and co. Those were the last good years of investment banking. Then things went haywire, corrupt, to make it simple. And the investment banks, one after the other, toppled over, tripped over. And then they called these things too big to fail. And then I realized that this whole thing is organized crime. Looking at the central banks, looking at the inflation, eating people's pensions away, was wrong. But what really got me going, and that is my right and my duty, is when I learned that I got poisoned by the COVID-19 psyops through a bioweapon injection. That's in my case, 3 Pfizer shots, 2+1 booster. That was state sponsored through our taxes and we were lied to, like Dr. Fauci has duped your President Trump into it, as safe, tested and effective. 3 lies in one sentence. And what they have done is beyond biblical. And if I have some time left here on this planet in this dimension, I will do my part to make sure that this can never happen again to humanity. Very simple.
And before you, before the COVID outbreak, you had already started focusing on other issues of import that governments, that the media were ignoring. Can you tell us what led you then away from banking and into this truth-telling?
I think the Swiss collapse in Switzerland was the trigger point. I was not involved with Swissair at all anymore, and it just collapsed under our feet. The richest country, or one of the richest countries in this world, couldn't pay the fuel prices for the flight from Zurich to London, and the whole thing collapsed. Yeah. It was then revealed, covered up, and then I went to work with a film team, got invited as a producer because I brought 60,000 secret protocols from meetings, board meetings, court documents. And with those, we could write the truth, right? Mm-hmm. The absolute truth is now of essence. And with that film, it's called Grounding, a Swiss cinema film. We launched it in 2006 in Switzerland in 50 cinemas at the same time. It became one of the best, voted best ever Swiss movies ever done.
Yes.
Because we told the truth.
Yes.
We were able to accuse the perpetrators by name. That is UBS, Credit Suisse, and the totally, totally incompetent Swiss government at the time. I wouldn't say corrupt. They were plainly stupid.
Interesting.
Now, that was covered up already and hidden from the Swiss people, the taxpayers. The taxpayers were paying the damage, and the banks, they got away with it, okay? That was not right. We had 40,000 people on the streets, jobless, long-term jobless. 40,000 is nothing for the United States statistics, but for that time, 5 million Swiss population, that was a lot in one event, in mm-hmm. one go. The damage to our economy was $50 billion. Oh. Today, again, you say that's nothing. In 2001 for Switzerland, again, taxpayers' money, 50 yeah. billion,
it's a catastrophe.
Believe me, is a lot of money.
It is.
And with that, we also lost face mm-hmm. in front of our own people, in front of our own respect. But more importantly for Switzerland to the outside, there's the 18,000 passengers around the world with tickets stranded, no compensation. Is that what Switzerland was all about?
Right.
No. That's not what we do.
Right.
So I started to look between the lines. Now, I've been advising heads of states and minister levels all my life in crisis. And sometimes it was a peace and war decision. I was not a trader. I was not a private wealth manager at all. I did financing strategies, the big stuff for the big boys. And you know what? I saw a lot of stuff happening. We call it in Switzerland, I saw horses throwing up in front of a pharmacy without mentioning the F word. And when I saw that spiel between organizations like the IMF, the World Bank, and then you had the WEF in polarization, developing its own dynamics, which were completely harmful and threatening to the respective constitutions around the world, democratic mm-hmm. constitutions, I didn't agree anymore with the system.
Right.
But you know what? I was lacking the entry point to go that down that road.
Sure.
To clear up things. And the duty call came when I found out what they've done to us in the since 2020. And by the way, I have observed as a Swiss, not only Switzerland going down the drain, unfortunately I had to observe, and that saddens me a lot, and United States of America going down the drain and becoming insecure. The last what the world wants is an insecure United States. Mm-hmm. We need a strong, healthy, wealthy, self-competent, not warmongering United States to
right.
keep peace. It's the way your president is managing things. That isn't Trump, that is.
You have done much of your public outreach on social media, especially on Twitter, now known as X. Before Elon yeah. Musk took over control of the company, you were repeatedly suspended. Why did that happen?
Yeah.
And I want to add one thing. I don't know really what to make of it on the U.S. part, but just about every friend that I have was suspended from Twitter for one reason or another, the reasons never being clear. So why did that happen to you? And are you active on the platform again now?
No, I'm not.
No.
It's true. When this whole revelation started to uncover the, from the Swiss perspective first, the COVID psyop and the crime, the demo side, I think I once said they all should be judged and should be executed in Guantanamo Bay. That's what I said. They're bad boys, bad and sick people. That's what I wrote. And then X, or that time Twitter, suspended me. You know, it's an AI
right,
thing, I
right.
think.
Sure.
And then I went back in as Najati for Justice. when I started to go to the next level, the Swiss justice I declared as unreliable. Your President Trump has different words, like corrupt. I join him in that, but I call it unreliable. It's equally bad. And then I published on the 26th of October a diagram where we have deciphered the so-called WHO pandemic agreement, Tedros, this war criminal, fake doctor, Tedros, the general secretary's plan to make a coup d'etat around the world through COVID and others, other pandemics or plandemics. And I posted those diagrams, which showed that the health emergency and WHO will then control your executive and legislative branches of the United States, Switzerland, Germany, Britain, France. And I called it out and I said, you know what, Mr. Tedros, I said, the Space Force knows when you go to the toilet, you better be careful. And then I got suspended for life by the CEO, by the CEO of Twitter, which is a lady who used to be employed by Klaus Schwab. And I'm saying right on your program, Elon Musk, I trusted you a long way, but you know what? This confuses me. I don't want to accuse you, but either you have got a deep mole fake in your organization from how can you hire from the West a CEO? I don't get it. You're financially independent, supposedly. You don't need that. And right. $6 million
right.
for that lady. She has not, you know, get a young American student, a geek from Silicon Valley or from the beach in Santa Monica. They can do a better job. But me suspending for publishing the WHO attack plan on humanity, a coup d'etat on your constitution, you must be kidding me. So I told him that also in other, I'm now on Truth Social, by the way. Mm-hmm. This is President Trump's platform. I'm very happy and no issues and people follow me there now. So you see, I don't need, that's the point. Don't get me wrong, sir. I don't talk about you. I said, I don't need your likes. I don't need them anymore. I'm dying, diagnosed, dying from three Pfizer shots, fact. Second, I'm doing something about it. And I'm helping as a messenger of light to inform you that they are finished. And I don't need to be liked for that. It's not my job. Mm-hmm. I have no association, no fundraising campaign. I'm not politically active. I couldn't care less. This is not about whether you like or hate your president, actual President Trump today or not, or where you hate or love me. We don't care. We present you with facts, and they're so bad, the facts, so bad.
We are speaking with whistleblower and former Swiss banker Pascal Najati. Thank you, Pascal. Please stay with us right there. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some of Pascal's detractors. He has responses. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. We're speaking with Swiss whistleblower Pascal Najati. Good to have you with us, Pascal.
John, thank you very much for your time. And again, greetings to all you brave men and women, especially those serving your military right now.
Oh, thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
Pascal, a true review of your whistleblowing would not be complete without admitting that you have some detractors out there. I'd like to get your reactions to some of the things that some of these people have said. First, a Swiss blogger says that you were suspended from Twitter not because of your whistleblowing, but because you claimed to be under the protection of the U.S. military, specifically the Space Force, as well as a tweet that you wrote saying that Donald Trump was still the president in 2023 and that he had mobilized 1 million National Guardsmen on U.S. soil. What can you tell us about that?
I know about the Space Force and I admire them. And President Trump has founded them in 2019, I believe, in December. I've never said that I'm protected by the Space Force. I'm not an American military officer. And in a sense, we all are by them, but I come to that later. But no, I'm not linked formally to the USSF, but I admire them. And I have my email address with them, so they send me updates. Anybody can do that on the website. Mm-hmm. But this detractor is known. We traced him. He's sitting in London. Yeah, maybe he's a VPN. As soon as somebody has put up my Wikipedia page, I haven't done that. This person, we believe it's a man. It could be a woman. We don't know these days, right? Started to vandalize the page.
Right.
Now, yes, I said President Trump is your president and commander in chief. In fact, he's the wartime president. Go and check. And it is absolutely true and verifiable also, by the way, always verifiable, fact check. President Trump has mobilized 1 million National Guards, soldiers and officers into active war duty after he federalized your National Guard. So I'm a Swiss military Air Force veteran telling you this now on your show, and I'm not bearing military secrets. I don't, and I don't want to. These are verifiable facts. I wrote this to a journalist in Switzerland 2 days ago on his blog. Mm-hmm. He didn't publish my comment. He's a coward. I'll call him tomorrow. I'll tell him off. Because I understand if people are maybe distracted and want to debunk me, and they can if I talk nonsense. Mm-hmm. Yes, please do so, but I won't.
Well, the media also have had questions about a lawsuit that you filed against Pfizer related to the
yes.
COVID vaccine. And you touched on this a little bit earlier in the show.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about that case? And is that suit still pending?
No, it's not.
Okay.
In fact, it's been thrown out of court. I had to find that out later. This was a person who contacted me from New York, from Twitter, said that she can domesticate my Swiss criminal charges against my Swiss president here in New York. And she filed a case, me as a co-plaintiff, as whatever, yeah, against Pfizer Inc. in New York State. I mean, in the Supreme Court of the New York State in Manhattan. I think it's 60 West Street. That's the courthouse. And
yes.
the judge in charge was Justice, Honorable Justice Laurie Sattler. And things got out of hand with this person. I raised money for this stuff, and I've transferred over $35,000 to her out of $40,000 raised. And then she started to defame me on Twitter Spaces with my now ex-wife. I had to file criminal charges against them here in Switzerland for defamation. That's Article 174 of the Swiss Penal Code. It's a crime. And then, of course, in my view, for fraud, because I called the court myself finally in New York and said, hey, guys, is my case, my claim as a victim of Pfizer valid? They said, no. Stuff has been thrown out in April. That's where this comes from. So, but I must say one thing. Through this process, and this lady is not that stupid, I don't say that, we learned that U.S. corporations, Pfizer, Moderna, Astra, Johnson & Johnson, Merck, cannot violate any amendments of the Constitution of the United States and or federal and state orders or laws. They have done so. They made money abroad and in apartheid regimes. Switzerland made an unconstitutional law, vaxxed, unvaxxed. It's a violation of our constitution. Why? Everybody is equal in front of the law, like in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And they made money in the apartheid regime. They cannot do that. They can't. And the whole thing collapsed. And as you know, the injections were stopped, but they were stopped because of President Trump. With warp speed, he challenged the whole machine, has made it trip over, and now we have the result. It's coming out in the open. The card house of lies got destroyed by pulling one card, and that was your president. He pulled the card after being lied to by his advisors. He's not a doctor. He's not a toxicologist. He's a businessman and a peacemaker, after all. He got lied to as high treason, and the consequences will come very soon.
PolitiFact criticized you for a claim that an emergency injunction and tribunal order had been served on the WHO and others, ordering them to cease and desist was called a criminal conspiracy to commit war crimes, genocide, crimes against humanity, and to arrest and incarcerate these criminal defendants, unquote. Among these alleged criminals were people like Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft, for example.
Yes.
Dr. Anthony Fauci from the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Everybody who was working for the WHO, Joe Biden, even TV talk show host Oprah Winfrey. And the statement was attributed to you, but identified as Judge Pascal Najati. And you said that they would all be arrested as soon as possible. Military and law enforcement worldwide are preparing for this to happen. You're not a judge, to the best of my knowledge, and no such emergency order was issued.
No.
What was that all about?
This is a tribunal of natural law, and this refers to the law of the universe. And let's call it simple cause and effect. It's in chemistry, mathematics, in all models that you have in science, cause and effect is valid, at least in our dimension. Let's stick to the third dimension. The cause we know is not a genocide. At that time, I was a bit naive. It's a democide. A genocide is against race, gender, you know, whatever. This is a democide, the first ever executed against the human species. Demo from demographics. Stillborn babies dying, killed, like my mother, 82, now dying of it, three shots Moderna. If you call the universe for help, that's what we did. We made mistakes, and I want to correct them right here, right now on your show. The tribunal of judges, I was just the speaker, I was not the guy who did all the decisions, decided to put on that huge list, and that's a mistake, and I want to correct that by recalling that immediately. Mm-hmm. They put President Putin and President Trump on there. Complete nonsense. They are the ones who certainly are totally not guilty of anything regarding COVID, PSYOPs, and injections. Not guilty. But all the rest, the long list, WHO, WEF, WEF, the World Economic Forum, all rogue, unreliable traitors to our respective constitutions, government officials, parliamentarians, doctors who push the syringes, all of those, Pfizer, Moderna, all of those people will face justice.
Pascal Najati, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure to have you.
I thank you.
And thank you to our viewers for being with us. The great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Every step toward the goal of justice requires sacrifice, suffering, and struggle. The tireless exertions and passionate concern of dedicated individuals." That is absolutely true. And that's why the world needs people who are willing to fight for justice. Thank you for joining us for another episode of The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou, and I look forward to seeing you next time.